All right, Dave Pullen in about a half an hour. The Raptors, a very familiar situation last night. In the game,
right
they
there.
Jack a ton of shots, and they lose by three to Utah. And Utah has been one of the bigger surprises. Everyone thought Danny Ainge was tearing it down. In fact, he was, in terms of who he was trading away. But they got some pieces there, man. Markkanen's, he's clicked there. That Kessler kid is a beast, and he was last night. Chat about it. We're joined now by ESPN NBA front office insider. Here's Bobby Marks. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing very well.
Bobby, give us the skinny here. When are the Raps pulling the pin on this? Because we've come to the conclusion that that's the only option. So when does that happen? It's got to be soon, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would think, yeah, 53-game sample, right? I think that's probably good enough as far as where we are.
We discussed that the other day, Bobby. It's like they've seen enough now. They don't need to get, like they were talking about, they want to see what happens on this road. No, there's enough there. Let's move on from it.
Yeah, the Utah game was pretty similar to, I guess, the Phoenix area. Like, they're kind of they're in it, and then we get to that, like, 6-minute mark, and then, you know, kind of things fall apart a little bit here. I think what we're going to probably see, we're going to see things pick up here. I think, what was it, 85% of deals in the last 4 years happened the week of the trade deadline. So I think we're kind of in a normal position where there's not much out there, where I think they'll get to a point this weekend. I think they've got a couple more games on this West Coast trip where you're going to have to make a decision, right? Like, I think certainly we know, right, the five guys. I think certainly Scotty, no. I think Pascal, highly unlikely. I think, you know, I think Fred and Gary are, they got player options here. I don't think you're forced to do something just because they have a player option here. I think you can either work out if there's a deal in the offseason if you want to keep, or do a sign and trade. OG's the guy, right? I mean, like, that's the big, you know, you just mentioned Utah. I don't think you have to, you're not going to hit, you know, basically tear it down type territory. I think you can retool it, whether it be with draft picks, multiple draft picks I think you can get for him, at least two, maybe three. I think you can probably get a package of young players. I don't know if you can get a Donovan Mitchell type package or a Rudy Gobert type package. You look at Utah, what they were able to get back. You mentioned Walker Kessler, who's played tremendous, and he was part of that here. But I think if OG's the guy, and that, you would have a list of teams probably lined up here. I think I just mentioned this on TV earlier. I think the interesting thing is we've got this CBA that's being negotiated between the league and the Players Association. And, OG's in a unique situation because he's extension eligible this upcoming offseason, but he's limited to only a 120% increase. And he's on a really good contract, and the likelihood is that he won't sign an extension here. However, there's a good chance that these extension rules are going to be changed, and it might give teams, an opportunity to sign him to a more lucrative contract. And if teams know that going into Thursday, you might see a little bit more action here. So we'll probably still be in a little bit of holding pattern for the next, 24, 48 hours. But I do think things will probably start picking up, Sunday, Monday.
Well, there are reports out there, and that's the world we're living in right now. Reports, rumors, sometimes it can be difficult to differentiate between the two, that there could be bidding wars out there for Anunoby, specifically teams in the West who, multiple teams want him, and as much as they want him, they don't want him to go to the other team. Are you a believer in that? And if so, how can the Raptors utilize that to their advantage?
Well, Masai is used to it. I mean, he did it in Denver, right? I mean, and I was part of that Nets front office when it was us in New York bidding for Carmelo, and he basically kind of pitted both teams against each other and, got a haul for, from the Knicks for Carmelo. I think, I think we've heard, certainly Memphis, New Orleans, those are teams probably to maybe keep an eye on. I think the teams that have all their draft picks, in the next 7 years, as well as picks from other teams, young players, the contracts, I mean, those are the teams that kind of really make sense here as far as, either team. It's interesting, Memphis really doesn't do that, right? They really, they're a team that's built through the draft, 11 players on their roster. They don't like to trade draft picks. They like to draft. New Orleans is in 10th right now, and a lot of it has to do with Zion out. And when he's healthy, that's the big if, they're in the top four, top five here. So it will be interesting. The other thing too, guys, it's like, we signal the All-Star game as a mid-season mark, but we had 28, 29 games for some of these teams here. So if you're going all in, and you got you get this player for 20 games, you better hope for it's not just for this season, it's for the for the foreseeable future.
Bobby, Masai Ujiri, the handling of DeMar when he moved him for Kawhi, that's obviously a home run out of the park. They win the world championship. But how important is this segment of his tenure in Toronto, the way he handles this team and the direction moving forward? Do you think that it almost seems like when you're running a team and you win a championship, you get a grace period of a long time. But isn't this a really important kind of juncture in the season for him, to the way he's going to handle this?
Yeah, because we're close to, I guess we're in normalcy, right? I mean, the year after they won it, we had COVID. The following year, they're in Tampa, right? Last year they finished, in the top six. They have a really good series, competitive series against Philadelphia here, and now you're kind of at a crossroads. I don't want to say we're back to 2021 and it's Kyle and Norman Powell again here, but every player, your core guys, there's question marks for all five of them, either now or moving forward here. And you are at this critical juncture because, as we've said, when we started, it's like, 23 and whatever, 30, 31 here. There's 54 games of body of work. It's a good, I like their starting five here, but there's something that whether it be we can talk about the bench or maybe one of the starters, it's not working. It's not working at all, and if it's not, how do you fix it, without kind of risking the future?
Is Scotty Barnes a franchise type player for you?
Now, no, I think he's got the upside to be. I think he's taken a little bit of a step back here, but I think there's the makeup to become a franchise player. I think next year is going to be critical for him. That's going to be year three. He's going into a contract year. He'll probably get a max contract because that's usually what happens with franchise level type players. Maybe not right now, I don't see him. Where Kevin Durant was, in his second year. I don't see him where Ja was in his second year, like those type of players. So for right now, no. I do think he's got, that we use that word a lot, potential. He's got the potential to be.
Chatting with Bobby Marks of ESPN. Nick Nurse, we're talking about Masai earlier in the grace period after you win a championship. The same thing was applied to Nick. And the year after, the COVID year, he wins Coach of the Year. And he is still he's a great coach, and he's beloved here in Toronto. But there have been some rumors that maybe the players don't love his style anymore, or some of the players, and maybe there's some frustration from the front office because he refuses to play his bench. He refuses to find a rotation. I mean, even last night, you have Scotty playing, I think, 41. Fred's playing a ton. Ananobi, when he's healthy, is playing a ton. Like, he's playing these guys into the ground. Do you think Nick Nurse is in a position where the front office could make either a decision on him in the offseason or try to force his hand into possibly changing the way he operates?
Yeah, I would say that every coach has an expiration date, right? We just don't know when, probably except for Pop in San Antonio. We just don't know when it's going to be. Is it this offseason for Nick? Is it the following year? Probably not during the season here. It's a hard line, when you're in the front office and you want, I've been there, when you want your coach to play certain players. And it's not like you're telling them that this player has to start or anything like that. But you guys know the minutes. The minutes are ridiculously high.
Yeah.
There's a wear and tear factor to it. I think, that's why I'm probably more hesitant giving Fred a big number, just because he's played, the second most minutes behind Harden in the last 4 years. And there's been some injuries here. And, yeah, I think that's a concern, especially for guys who are going to be a free agent or coming there that are looking for that next contract, is that you're going to play a significant amount of minutes under him. And I don't know it didn't change last year. I don't see it changing this year at all here. There's been some nice moments when you've gotten, Precious, Chris, Thaddeus, some of those other players here, but, it's a hard thing to do as far as, from the front office to the coach, as far as basically telling him who to play.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's sending a message back to management. Clearly, they deserve a lot of heat. Like Masai and Bobby, they don't have depth. They don't have shooting. They don't have rim protection. Again, we're 50-plus games in. We know this. And they know it, and Nick knows it. So we'll see. A couple games left on this roadie and a week left before the trade deadline. Always great to catch up with you. Thank you for doing this, Bobby.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. So to recap, he thinks Ananobi's probably the guy you're looking at.
But it's got to be more than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just depends on what the value is, right? Like what's available. Because I think Van Vliet's in the same spot Lowry was in a couple years ago, where he's playing a lot better recently. He had a triple-double last night. He started to shoot the ball really well.
He looked really good.
He looked really good.
Good timing.
Very good timing, right? And still a guy that, when he's healthy, can be a really quality perimeter defender on guards, can shoot. You know, he's a good player.
But people get paid big dollars to recognize maybe we got the best out of you and maybe it's time to move on, and somebody will be tricked into thinking they're going to get five more years of what you did 3 years ago because it's not going to be us.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. Like that is,
and it's not a slight. I love the guy. He's a massive player in the city of Toronto as far as the sports landscape.
But eventually there'll be a decline, right? You got to get out in front of that.
That's great. That's what management, you have to do it. You got to make that call. And even if it's not the next year or two, it's 4 or 5 years down the road. Like if you commit long term and it's not there at the end. And I think they are going to trade one of these guys. Someone's going to go, I think, between now and the deadline. The question is, how deep do they cut?
Right.
You know, is it Ananobi and Van Vliet? I don't think Siakam's going. I just don't see that trend. It's certainly possible.
You can also make these moves or some moves in the offseason.
Exactly.
There's nothing
that's more
pressing
likely
to do it right now.
Yeah, that's more likely, I think.
Right?
And from that, that's why I don't think we're talking three guys going out.
Yeah.
You know, depth pieces, maybe Thaddeus Young gets moved or something, or you got to add pieces to make the money work with the trade. But I think one of them will go, whether it's Ananobi, Van Vliet, or Trent. One of them, maybe two, and if it's two, that's them saying, you know, we're really changing things here. We're really going to move in a different direction. But it's another loss again last night. They played 53 games.
Yeah.
They get 29 games left, right? Like, even with them playing everybody, Ananobi's hurt. He wasn't playing last night. You're still finding a way to lose. It's a dignified tank because you're not embarrassing yourself.
No, they're playing
hard. You're not getting blown out. You're not. There's no scandal.
I love a dignified tank.
It's a dignified tank. It's an unplanned, dignified tank, and that's where they are. All right, Dave Poulin still to come in about 20 minutes. The All-Star Game has arrived in the NHL, everyone's favorite weekend.
Dude.
We're jacked up.
Take a break and I'll talk.
And we've got, who do you trust more, the groundhog or ...
I love this.
Not the poor guy in Quebec. R.I.P.
Yes. We're talking Punxsutawney. We're talking Wyarton. We're talking Schubert and Akati.
Is that what it's called?
Out east, yeah. And the charcuterie.
I got the wrong name for the lady, the security lady. It's Jolynn.
Jolynn.
Jolynn down at Scotiabank.
We love
her. Security.
We're a huge
crony.
Fan.
She's a crony.
She is a crony. That's a positive. That's a compliment in our world.
Yeah. And shout out to Tyler, who runs the alumni box.
Yes.
He's a legend.
Love Tyler.
Chicken penne pasta.
Did you say hi for me last night?
Yeah, I always do.
I hope so. Overdrive continues.
I didn't. He asked about my wife, and I didn't mention your name.
TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.